Parshas Chukas. I believe it's fair to say that from the entire Chumash HaChumash HaTorah, there is no more complicated and complex parsha that requires sensitivity to understand the message of the parsha as much as this week's parsha of the Moshe's Chet over here by Mei Meriva. However we come out, let's have to make some introduction. However we come out, we have to understand it was in the smallest, minutest possible miscalculation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Chas v'shalom, wasn't a big chet. He didn't hear with the greatest human being that ever lived. And however we understand it, some very strong things may be said, but again, it's only in the level of what Kosh Baruch expected from Moshe Rabbeinu, not Chas v'shalom, in the level that we speak, you know, he did this wrong and had no emunah, chas v'shalom. But the lesson is there, and how Kosh Baruch Hu relates to Moshe Rabbeinu, that is how we should understand what is expected from us, but chas v'shalom to relate it on regular terms. So here we have in Perek Chof, Pasuk Aleph. Klal Yisrael, v'yavoyu b'nei Yisrael, kol ha'edim midbatzin. Klal Yisrael all arrive in midbatzin, b'chidush ha'rishoyin in the first month, v'reishit ha'om b'kodesh, v'tomash ha'miriam v'tukavashon. Okay, so here Miriam HaNeviah dies, and Miriam HaNeviah, besides from being a Neviah, she also had a zchus of the Be'er Shem Miriam. The well of Miriam was in her zchus. It was not just a Be'er, it was an oasis. It actually created, wherever she went, trees and plants. So there's a whole oasis grew wherever she was. There's no water for the Eidah, v'yikolu al Moshe v'al-Aaron, they came to Moshe v'al-Aaron. But Yorev Om Moshe, and they grumbled with Moshe, they argued with Moshe, Vayomer Lamer, and he said to them, saying, Lu Gavan and Bigvar Chinuf Nei Hashem, halavai we died beforehand. Valomo Hevesmes Kal Hashem and Midbar Hazel, Lomu Shom and Achtav Reina, why bring us to this miserable Midbar? Valomo Hed Yisonim Mitzrayim, Lahavi Yisonim Mokem, Ha'ro Hazel, this terrible place. Le Mokem Zera Hatein of a Geffen, Rimoin, there's no, nothing growing over here. Maim Ayin Nishlois, there's no water. So these people had a legitimate complaint. There's no water. Without water you die. And they were complaining in a way which was very rough, which was very raw. And Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately, as he did every time, he went to ask Kodesh Baruch Hu to intervene. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, take the stick and gather the Eidah, the congregation, Atov Aaron, Achicha, you and Aaron, your brother, v'dibartem el hasela leinehem, and speak to the seller in front of them, but nosan meimov v'itzeislehem maim in hasela, and it will give water v'ishkisa esa eidah v'espeirom, and by doing so you'll be able to feed the eidah and their cattle. V'igach Moshe esa mate b'fnei Hashem kash itzvoi. Moshe Rabbeinu took the mate, v'akilu Moshe v'Aaron es kol hakol b'fnei hasela, and gathered them all together. V'yoyim alem, he said to them, Shimono Amoirim, listen to me, you bitter people. Hamin hasela hazen noitzelechem maim. Will water come from this? Stone? Vayorim Moshe's Yodoi, Moshe picked up his hand. Vayaches Haseli, he hit the stone. Vamateo with a stick for mine twice. Vayetsu mine, Rabbi Matesha Eidah v'Iram. Water came out and he fed them. Vayim Hashem Moshe v'Aaron, Yalei Mantid Bila Hakdisheni, because you did not believe in me to sanctify my name. Le'ene b'nei Yisrael in front of Klal Yisrael. Lechein lo Yisivir Sokol Azeh Ela Oris Asher Nasati Lehem. You Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron will not bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Heima Mei Meriva Ashrob Nei Yisrael Hashem V'Kodesh Bom. This was Mei Meriva that Klal Yisrael fought over. Now Rabbi Yisai, let's understand this very, very carefully. Let's understand what's going on over here. Klal Yisrael are at a crisis. Okay, there's no water. No water in the middle of a desert. How long can they survive? Okay, and they legitimately made a complaint. Hashem, we need water. Give us water. Moshe Rabbeinu takes that complaint, goes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, fine. Great opportunity now. Here you have, you know, the greatest way to bring Jews together, you know, is at Kiddush. You know, the Kiddush, everyone standing there, Gavaldig, you know, you can't, or, you know, it's fantastic. Here you have the best Kiddush possible. Here you have everyone parched in the middle of the desert, waiting for a drink, and you know that by coming all together over here, you're going to have Moshe Rabbeinu come and give me out water, somehow or another. This is going to happen. So here you have millions of people waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to give them water out of nowhere. No pipeline there, out of nowhere. Okay, Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, a great opportunity. Take a stick and go and speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu goes along and he hits the rock twice. Fine. Water comes out. A huge amount of water comes out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you messed up. Big time you messed up. You know what? Here you had the opportunity for Kiddush Hashem to show a miracle, and he fluffed it. You completely missed it. Here you had the opportunity, and he that's it. You cannot come into Eretz Yisrael. Which means somebody else has to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, which means there will be a Churban eventually of the Bais, and Klal Yisrael will go into Golos. If you would have brought them into Eretz Yisrael, you could have built a Beis Hamikdash immediately, and Klal Yisrael would never have gone into Golos. So, here we have Klal Yisrael seeing the most incredible miracle, that in fact you have a stone gives out water by just hitting it twice, huge amounts of water. You understand, it's not just a little bit of drips. This here dealing here with gushing out, you know, Niagara Falls, tons, you know, billions and billions of gallons of water. This is huge. Enough for everybody, right? And here we have, no, but it wasn't a Kiddush Hashem. But it wasn't a Kiddush Hashem. So here, if you look at the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has collected 10 different Mefarshim, the Rishonim, how to understand the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu over here. 10 different Peshatim. We have Peshatim on one extreme to the other extreme. The Rambam, for example, says that the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu was the fact that he said to them, Shimuno Hamoirim, listen to me, miserable people, bitter people, right? So says the Rambam, that's not the way you speak to Klal Yisrael. That's the way the Rambam understands it. The Ksav Sofer brings Rias that not Pshat, Shimon or Hamoirim, the fact that he spoke to them and called them miserable people is why he got punished. But why did he say no? Shimu, please listen to me, miserable people. You don't say no if you're making a demonstration of sticking up for Kodesh Baruch Hu's values and kovod. When you're trying to be diplomatic for your own means, be as diplomatic as you want. But when you're speaking half of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't have to say please. There's no no. You should say Shimu Hamoirim, listen to me. Why no? So in other words, you have two opposite extremes what the Chet was. Right? You have the Ramban saying on the Rambam, Moisiv hu hevel al hevel havolim. The Rambam has just added on hevel, vanity onto vanity of vanities. Just added on complete nothingness onto nothingness. I mean, that is a kind of passionate fights going on over here. What is Peshat in the Chet? What exactly was the Chet? It's not clear in the parasha what the Chet was. Let's fit Peshat as best we can according to Rashi and understand, according to that Peshat, exactly what the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu was and how to deal with that. In other words, Rashi says the Chet was Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the stone. Says Rashi, if he would have spoken to the stone, we could learn a Kal V'Chomer. Stones can't hear, and they do the Rotzon Hashem. We who can hear should certainly do the Rotzon Hashem. Okay? He didn't speak to it. He struck it twice. That was a Chet, according to Rashi. Okay? Asks the Ramban a fantastic Kasha, if that's the case, why did he take his matter with him? If the idea was not to hit it, why take the matter? Why take the stick with you? What's the point? If he's supposed to hit it, take the stick. All the other nisim that were done with hitting the stick. Whether it's on the yo'ir to bring dam, whether it was on the yamsuf, but it was hitting. It was a stick. In fact, that stick, Rabbi Yisai, now I always imagined was like a rabbonisha stick. No, rabbonisha stick, and you have a little like a silver edge, you know, they walk around with it, and you put it on the tish when the Moshe Rabbeinu is giving tish. It wasn't like that. This stick was a very, very, Madrashim talk about it, Shem Mephayish with Yaakov and Yosef. There's a whole background to it, but it was not used the entire time they were in the Midbar from Kriyas Yamsuf on. It was used in Kriyas Yamsuf, put to the side, and it's been in the oil moyed all this time. It was not used for all these 40 years. It's the end of the 40 years. And this is the first time a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, dust it off and bring it out and take the stick. If that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was supposed to use it. So what's the big deal if he used it? That's number one. Secondly, what was a great disaster at the end of it? What terrible thing happened? No Kiddush Hashem, nothing came out. Of course something came out. Water came out. Huge amounts of water came out. So what's Yalei Mantim Bila Hakdisheni? You did not make a Kiddush Hashem over here? Of course it was a Kiddush Hashem. So didn't speak to it. I didn't get the best Kiddush Hashem. But I still made a huge Kiddush Hashem. This is a miracle. Unbelievable, fantastic. It's called a missed opportunity. It's not a missed opportunity. It may not be the greatest potential was used in this opportunity, but it's certainly an opportunity. And if Hashem didn't like it, don't bring any water out in the first place. You know, let the whole thing fall apart until he speaks to it. What's going on over here? Thirdly, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? How did he do something wrong? Moshe Rabbeinu, onov mikol adam, eved ne'emon, manhig of klal Yisrael, binat yishmaim, nu hakadosh baruch hu, ponim al ponim. How can Moshe Rabbeinu do such a chet? What was his cheshbon behind it? What happened there? We mentioned today in Shin, Gemara Shin, that Tzmid HaChomin don't twitch without HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling them to do so. Everything is calculated. How did he pick up his hand and hit something which is completely against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do according to Rashi? How did he do it? So let's go slowly. The Medrash says, as far as I know, it's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. He says, and the Misapona brings it, what was Moshe supposed to say to the rock? It's different from the Farshim, but what was Moshe being supposed to say to the rock? So, Poshet, I would be thinking, he should be saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to split, and give water. Right? Give water. And that's, negotiations over here. Tell the water, I've got Tzivay Hashem to give water for Klal Yisrael. That is what that's Poshet Pshat. Says the Pirkei Rebbeleza and the Sepharna note, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach them a very, very important lesson. The important lesson is one, that he has the entire attention of entire Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, listen carefully. Till now, you've been living in a midbar. You've been living with Nisim on a daily basis. There's Mon, there's Anonim, there's Mamudei Eish. There's all wonderful things happening around you, but you're going into Eretz Yisrael soon. How are you going to survive in Eretz Yisrael? What are you going to do that's going to trigger off Nisim in Eretz Yisrael? How are you going to live in Eretz Yisrael? Living in a world of Gashmias, surrounded by Tachas Te'eno, each one under his fruit trees, making a business, going to work, coming back from work. How are you going to survive? What are you going to do in a world of Gashmias? Says the Sephardim, now I've got a lesson over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go to the rock and say a Mishnah. Say a Dvar Halacha. Say a Dvar Torah to the rock. Say a little tefillah. That's all he should say. But nothing about water coming out. That's not the idea. Tell him. Chanani ben Akash Yoyim Meros HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakeh Tzis Yisrael. Say something like that. The rock will fall apart. It'll pour out such a shefa. So much water will come out. Why? Because that is a kliach of ruchnius. That is the strength of ruchnius. Don't think for one moment that what keeps you going in a world of business, or that will keep you going in Eretz Yisrael, is going to be gashmius. Going there and making money, high tech. It's going to be a land of milk and honey based on ruchnius, not a land of tech and money. That's not the idea. The idea is, go there with a Dvar Halacha, go there with a Dvar Torah, and you'll see the Shefa that comes out from this Dvar Torah. That is what you should be doing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take your stick, take it along with you, and everyone will be expecting you to hit the rock with this stick, but don't use it. Put it on the side. Surprise them. Show them that what's more powerful over here is a Dvar Torah rather than with force. Show them that Koichi Vo'itzim Yodi. Show them that the strength of your own hand is absolutely worthless. Don't even use a stick. Speak to it. And therefore you bring in the stick to show them how useless and how unnecessary it is to have a stick. How unnecessary it is to use our own power and our own force. Don't need that. Put it on the side. Speak to it. Give her a Dvar Torah. That is all you will need for the Shefa of Ruchnius, which will bring a Shefa of Gashmius. That is why Moshe Rabbeinu is told to bring the stick. Klal Yisrael, can you imagine what would have happened? You would have said a little Dvar Torah, a short Dvar Torah, and suddenly water gushes out of this rock, this dry rock, into this parched desert. You give enough to drink everybody. That was a limud. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it. And he hit it. And that message of how powerful a Dvar Ruchni is was lost. So says the Sephardim. And the whole parasha is going through with this Koyach of Ruchnius. Edoim, going through Edoim. Edoim, you have tremendous strength. We've got a Koyach HaTefillah. We have a continuation of the parasha. We have the snake biting them. We have a snake biting them. You can use a snake as well. The Koyach of Yerushalayim can fight against Gashmius. It can make you win. We have Al-Kain Yomer Moishrim Bol Cheshbon. Let's make a Cheshbon. A cheshbon, this cheshbon of Yerushalayim, that cheshbon of Yerushalayim. It's all about ruchnius, is stronger than Gashmis. And ultimately, the Shefa, the abundance we'll get from Gashmis is based on the Dvar Torah, is based on how much we absorbed in Torah and Yerushalayim. I had a certain relative who lived in England, and Rahman al-Islam, for many, many, many years, he never had children. Many, many years. You know, the first year, okay, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, it's getting painful. And this couple, Rahman al-Islam, they went, and it's a nightmare. It's a complete and utter nightmare. Go to these fertility clinics, and the marriage is a strain on the marriage. And it's a strain. Every bris you go to, everyone's making a sanduk, you know, with Shem Bayou. It's very hard. It is very hard. And this went on year after year after year after year. After 15 years, they went to a fertility doctor in Belgium. They're the best doctors in fertility in the world. People go all over the world to Belgium. And they met the man who has helped thousands of couples to have children. And he saw all the results, and he made some tests of his own. And he looked, brought them in the office and said, listen. And in that time, by the way, they'd separated and they got back together again. Because they missed each other. It was a very rough patch. And he said, listen to me. I've looked at all the statistics. I've looked at all the test results. Al Piderach HaTeva, naturally, there's a chance in a million for you to have a child. I don't see it happening. But I'm not Jewish. You're Jewish. You have a relationship with God. Religious people, God is the only one that can help you here. Go and speak to him. Don't bother with any more doctors. Go speak to him. He's the only one that can help you. And without any treatment at all, within the year they had a child. The only child they've had. That child, the whole England was talking about it. After 16 years marriage, had this one child without any treatment at all. Ruchnius. This is a koyach of Ruchnius, speaking to Ribbono Shel Olam like a father. You can have all the gashmis, a high-tech medical world, and all that, it's nothing. A tefillah to Ribbono Shel Olam, a skarvus to Hashem, a dvar halacha, that's what makes all the difference. And that's the first lesson. The first lesson was, yes, take the stick, but don't use it. What should you use? Use your mouth, because that is our power. Hakol kol yakri. That's the first lesson. How can Moshe Rabbeinu have missed this lesson? How could he have possibly done something that was against Ratzon Hashem? What happened to him? Now, if you understand this carefully, it's so poshut. It's so simple to understand what went wrong here. But the lesson is so profound, it's quite chilling. I don't know whether any of you have been and watched a magic show, right? Or have performed a magic show, I don't know, right? Maybe have done a magic show for kids, little magic tricks. And he sent them round in a group, big group, and he got like 20 kids, and some of the kids are like their mouths are wide open, like suddenly getting handkerchiefs kind of coming out of your ear, and you know, money disappearing, and it's amazing, it's incredible, all the kids are sitting there enjoying mouths wide open, and there's always one precocious kid who says, I know where the tissue's gone, it's in your sleeve. So what do you have to do to this kid? He's killed it, he's ruined it, unless you show him. No, it's not in your sleeve. That's it. Game over. Right? That's it. Game over. So, the biggest challenge really is not only to do the trick, but the biggest challenge is to quieten down this precocious kid who's trying to be the Mr. Know-All. Yeah? Trying to prove that he doesn't know what's going on, and once he's satisfied, then you really have the admiration. Okay? Here, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to a particular stone. To speak to a particular stone. That's brought down in Rashi. Speak to a particular stone. What happened? People came along. Alter von der Wartig says this. Yeah? And he says, what happened? People said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're speaking to that particular stone. Ha! You must know something special about this stone. There's something unique about this stone. You're speaking to this stone. You can't get something out from a different stone. This stone is something special. It's something, I don't know, maybe Yaakov Avinu used under his head. Who knows? Special stone. You can't get it out of a normal thing. Hashem can't do that. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu now is at a dilemma. What's he supposed to do? On one hand, he could actually show these people that any stone, I could do the same thing. I may not have to speak to it, I may have to hit it, yeah? But ultimately, you cynics, you people are trying to mess things up, you'll see, I can make this stone, any stone you choose, I can actually bring water from that stone, and that can create a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. That's one option. The other option is, allow them to keep on butting in, and putting Moshe down, and take water from the stone HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to speak to. Of course, being what you see, we're challenging, we still can't take from that different rock. And that would be, as far as Moshe is concerned, another option, but certainly would not be such a Kiddush Hashem. Okay? What would we do? Think of Cheshmer, what would we do in that situation? Make the ultimate Kiddush Hashem and quieten all the cynics, but not exactly follow the directs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people are still muttering there, oh, of course, Shkoyach. Yeah. What do we do? Moshe Rabbeinu decided to go for option A. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Shimono Amoirin, HaMenasela HaZen Eizuchemayim? Which rock? This rock? Okay, this rock? No, which rock do you want? This one over here? This one, yeah? Okay, that one? Yeah, the very dry one? See, everyone see it? Yeah? Any water in it? Oh no, not that one? Okay, you want that one? Okay, that one, yeah? Eventually he found a rock that they all were happy with, no water could come out, and he hit it. And he hit it again, and suddenly the place got completely filled with water. Unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. Unbelievable, fantastic. So what was the mistake? What was the mistake? The mistake was that he made a cheshbon. And what? But the cheshbon was wrong. You know what the cheshbon was? As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu hit this rock, every single rock in the entire area also gave out water. So even if Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the original rock, there still would have been a mice and nests that would have quietened down these people. So it wasn't necessary to deviate from the original plan. But how was he to know that? You have to make your decision based on what your eyes can see. Moshe Rabbeinu never expected that to happen. The answer is, man lehim mantem bila hakdusheni, he lacked in emunah. Don't think for one second, Hashem says, I need your help in making this in. I don't need your help. I have a master plan in this world of how the world should exist. I have a plan of how I want things to happen. Don't think for one second that you have to help me with making Kiddush Hashem. You don't. You have a job to follow my directions. You have a job to listen to me. You have no obligation whatsoever to try and help me along in my job. That was the chet. Moshe made a cheshbon, and the cheshbon was wrong. What's the idea behind it? The idea is very simply, Hashem does not need our help to create a situation of Kiddush Hashem. I may have said a story before, but it's a fantastic story. Anyone who's involved in fundraising will realize just what a fantastic story it is. Of Aaron Kotler, Zeche Tzadik V'Kodesh Yivracha, a pioneer in the yeshiva world in America, the founder of Lakewood Yeshiva, one of the largest and most prominent yeshivas in the world in America, and in the world, but certainly the largest yeshiva in America, and it was the largest yeshiva until recently. Reb Aaron needed to build a building in Lakewood, and they made a huge fundraising dinner. All the big boys were there, all the philanthropists were there, and it was very high key, it was a very prominent affair. People came from all over to join in the fundraising effort. And at one particular table there were some Ashirim, some wealthy boys, who were sitting around a table, and they were pushing one particular man to give a huge amount of money. And he had the capability to pay a very, very large amount. They were pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. And eventually, one stood up and he says, "My friend over here has decided to give a half of the yeshiva to pay for half of the building." However much money it was then. Today, $5 million to pay half of the building. So this fellow stands up and he says, "Yes, I've agreed to pay half of the building on the condition that all my other friends around the table will pay for the other half. They'll make a matching." And here you have the whole Lakewood yeshiva building. That's it! This is a dream! HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you! What a Kiddush Hashem! How fantastic! But these people started making a cheshbon that they weren't in that league to join together to be able to pay for the other half. No, they thought that they played it safe. But he's put them in a predicament now that he's only going to give half if they pay half, and they can't give the other half. So they say, "You know what? Rabbi Yisai, time out. Time out. let's make a break, we'll reconvene soon, let's see what's going on over here. And these people are schwitzing. They're schwitzing, and what they're going to do, and how can they get money. And but if you don't give that other half, then you're not going to get the first half either. So decide on the plan. The committee decided what they're going to do is, they're going to lend these people a half. Yeah, they'll lend them that half. And then these people don't have to necessarily give it to them. They'll lend them the half, and they'll say, okay, we'll put down that half, which we'll borrow from Gemach and the mortgage, etc., etc., etc. And then this other one will give him the other half, that's fine. Aaron stood up, and he rammed his hand on the table. He said, Voss! Do you think my yeshiva is going to be built on sheker? Do you think Rabbi Shem needs my help to build a yeshiva? That is not Ratzon Hashem. And if I don't have a yeshiva, I don't have a yeshiva. But Hashem does not need me to start helping him in building Lakewood yeshiva. It's Hashem's yeshiva, Hashem will help me. And I went out, and those other people at the table could not afford to, and the other man did not give half of the yeshiva, and Lemaisa, the yeshiva is still around today. A beautiful building in Lakewood is a yeshiva. Hashem does not need our help. Hashem doesn't need it. It's not necessary. On the writing paper of the Miri yeshiva, there was pictures there of either Mir or Lakewood. I'm not sure which yeshiva. Chaim Shmuel Levitz or Aaron. There's a picture of trees in the front. And one yeshiva says, there's no trees here. You can't make nice writing paper with trees. There's no trees. Either you plant trees, or you get rid of the paper, make it scrap paper. But you cannot use this to enhance the look of the yeshiva, make it more impressive. If it's any sheker, Hashem doesn't need this.
What about the letterhead of this yeshiva?
Thank you, Ari Leib.
It's just a letter.
Yeah. It's an imaginary. So that's the idea. The idea over here is, so Alta from the Vada, Moshe Rabbeinu made one miscalculation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll help you with Kavod Shemayim. I will make a decision that ultimately will help you along the way, so that Kosh Baruch, I don't need your help. Don't use your initiative over here. Thank you. I don't need it. Do something that you believe is following my dictates perfectly. That is the biggest Kiddush Hashem. That's the second lesson. Lemaisa, though, Rabbi Yisai, Moshe Rabbeinu may have not done the right thing, but was a Chil Hashem. Water came out. What's a big deal? Fantastic. What's wrong? Says Aham Akdoba number one. The water that came out was very, very inferior. That's why later on the parasha, again, they asked for water again. It was a very inferior water. But number two, says a Meshech Chochma, a beautiful diuk. He says, if you look in the parasha carefully, he says, in Posuk Ches, V'ishkiso es ho'edo ve'es ve'irom, and feed es ho'edo ve'es ve'irom. In other words, there's a word ve'es between the edo, the people, and the Iram, their cattle. There's a word V'es in the middle. Okay? If you look later on, it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'teisht ho'edo u'be'irom. He gave to drink the Eidah u'be'irom without V'es. Okay? Number one. Number two, in Pasuk Ches, it said, V'nosan me'mov v'hoitzeisu lehem mayim. Give them water. Does not say the word rabim. In Pasuk Yud Aleph it says V'yetzu Mayim Rabim, a lot of water came out. Ask Meshech Chochma, why in Pasuk Ches does it say V'es, split up between Eidah V'es B'Iram, and it does not use the word Rabim? Later on it does not say the word V'es and it uses Rabim. Why? Says Meshech Chochma, there is two ways of giving a Nes. There is the ideal way and the not ideal way. We see the same by Schmidt, I'm not going into that now. The ideal way of receiving a Ness is you have a little bit and it goes a long way. The not ideal way is having an abundance. And by having an abundance, there's problems with storage, and there's problems with Ayin Hara, and there's problems with gathering it in. Yeah, it's all major problems, but a little goes a long way is the ultimate Ness. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you a wonderful opportunity for a Ness. What I'm going to do is, going to give the people different water to the animals. The people are going to give special water that little goes a long way. To the animal, because they appreciate it, they'll appreciate it less. The animals don't appreciate little goes a long way. They need water. For them, I'll give them a lot of water. So there's a different quality of water for people and for animals. So that's why I have the S in the middle. That the people had a different quality of ness to the animals. The people drank three little gulps of water and they were totally satiated. That was it. That's all they needed. The thirst was quenched. That was it. But the animals, they don't appreciate the ness, therefore they had to have a lot. But it did not need a lot of water by the people. Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't follow what Kosh Baruch Hu told him to do. And therefore it says, the same amount of ness was for the people as was for the animals. And what did you need for the people? Maim Rabim. You needed a lot of water. Because the people now needed a lot of water. It was an inferior ness. And therefore, this is an unbelievable message. The message over here is like this. That even if a ness actually comes out at the end of the day by us doing something slightly wrong, don't think for one second you've gained anything by it. Give an example. I had a friend years ago, 6-7 years ago in England. He did a bit of a scam in order to show as if he has more assets than he actually has to a bank, in order for the bank to lend him money. And the bank fell for it. The bank in those days only too happy to lend money, they fell for it, and they lent him a very, very large amount of money. And I said to him, to build a big place in a certain country. And I said to him, you know, it's very nice what you did, but, you know, it's not that glut, it's not so straight. He says, nah, look, the fact is, Rabbi Hashem helped me, you see very clearly Rabbi Hashem wanted it to work, I got the money, Baruch Hashem, listen, I built. He built, and he built, and he built. And today, he can't sell it. He is so deep in debt. I don't know actually where he's holding now, but he's so deep in debt. If the bank would not have given him that money, and he would have done something much smaller, he would be in a far better position today than he is right now. Ultimately, one can get big Shefta Dishmaya. One can think Hashem is helping us and doing a miracle, doing a ness. But it's an inferior ness. If you don't follow Kodesh Baruch Hu, absolutely. Nothing good can come from Makor Ra. That, says Mesha Chochma, is this lesson over here. Of course we got a ness. Of course water came out from a stone after hitting it. But the quality of it, you cannot compare one to the other. And this was, again, what's going on over here with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu expected a fantastic ness. He thought he was doing the right thing. It was not the right thing. And ultimately, an inferior ness came out from it. It's a very, very important lesson. I just want to finish off with a beautiful piece of Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Actually, Shamshon Ben Raphael Hirsch. You know that? My nephew went to Germany. He went to Frankfurt. He went to the cave there. And it's with Shamshon Ben Raphael Hirsch. But the Yekkers, you know, they often have the talis bag, write the name and the father's name. So they write with Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. It's not with Shamshon Ben Raphael Hirsch. But anyway, with Shamshon Ben Raphael Hirsch says like this.
He's Shamshon.
With Shimshon. Shimshon Ben Raphael Hirsch. Samson Raphael Hirsch. Yeah, it is wrong. You're right. Anyway, he said over here, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him over here, Yan lo himanti bila haktisheni. You do not have a munah in me. Later on in Parshas Vayelech, it says stronger. It says a loshon of, Ala shema'altem bi b'toich b'nei Yisrael b'mei merivas kodesh. Ma'ila. You know what ma'ila is?
Misuse of carb.
Ma'ila is taking hektish, exactly, and using it for the wrong thing. What's going on over here? What's the man to be left to see? What's going on over here? Says Shamshon Fol Hirsch, such an important klal. Halavai more people knew this. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu is standing towards the last few months of his life. I'm not sure exactly the timeline over here. But not very long before he died. He'd taken Klal Yisrael all the way back from Mitzrayim. He'd appeared on the scene. He'd won their trust. He'd showed them ness after ness after ness. He showed them the Esamakus. He showed them Kriyas Yamsuf. He'd taken a whole doyer to receive the Torah. That doyer had died. A new doyer of Bnei Torah now. Not people who are slaves who got the Torah. These are Bnei Torah. He had taken them. And they're just about to go into Eshon. What did they say? The same primitive things as it started off in the Midbar. Oh, Halavai would have died. Why you take us out of there? What do we need this for? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yisrael, enough! You never learned anything? Shimon HaMeirim, you've learned nothing! What's wrong with you people? It's like a Rebbe takes a class, a difficult class, and he builds them, and he makes a Shabbaton for them, and a Malava Malka for them, and he takes them on Tiulim, and he works one-on-one, and this and that. At the end of the class, you know, there's a major hafgana in the class, and the kids are as chutzpahdik as they were at the beginning of the class. And he feels yeush. Yeah, he feels he gives up hope. You know, what's he done? You know, what's he done? His whole life, what has he managed to achieve? Moshe had end-life crisis. What managed to achieve? What for? Shimon Amorim, you miserable people! Says the Kodesh Baruch, you're making a big mistake. Do you know what you're doing? You're doing Me'ilah. Why Me'ilah? What's Me'ilah? If a worker is working in a company, he doesn't care about the bottom line. He has to care about, ultimately, to do his job. Yeah, a guy is not sitting in the office working out the expenses and the finances. He's got to do his job as a salesman on the floor. He doesn't have to worry about upstairs, or, you know, how much money is coming in, how much money is going out. That's not his place. If he feels it is his place, means he's a part of the business. He believes he's a partner here. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is Me'ilah. Why are you getting so upset? It's your business. It's not. It's my business. You think it's your business as well. That's Me'ilah. Your business, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to be a salesman down here. Your business is to do what you have to do, not to achieve results. You don't have to achieve results. You have to do what you're supposed to do. You have to fit in Klal Yisrael and work with them till the bone as much as you possibly can. Me dafen tun, we have to do oif tun to Eibishter. We have to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the results. If you believe that after all the work you've done, you deserve to see a result, you have Me'ilah. You believe you're part of an owner in this business. You're not. You are supposed to do what you have to do and be totally disconnected from the result it causes. That is not our point. People, we have people, Rahman al-Islam, it's a phenomenon today. Good, frum, lovely, warm families who are seeing Rahman al-Islam, the children going off the derech. And they blame themselves. And they feel guilt. And they feel upset that I've not produced a child who's the Yirei Shemayim, the Talmud Chacham, the Yirei Elokim. Rabbi Isai, it's tragic. And we've got to cry for these people and help them the best way we possibly can. But ultimately, the way a child turns out is not the parents' fault. Sometimes it is. But if the parents did whatever they could, they gave them the love, they gave them the time, gave them dedication, they governed and did everything they can. As a parent, it's not up to you to produce the results. Mir dafen tun, we have to do. Oif tun tut de b'shefa. The results HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give the child Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help the child along his way, give him help towards his chavos to him. But ultimately, we're not responsible for the results. We've got to do the best we can. We're not responsible for results. We've got to make sure that we ultimately put in every little bit of effort we can possibly do, and ultimately, that is the results over here. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along, Shimon HaMeirim, says Rosh Hashanah Valesh, what are you getting so upset about? That in 40 years nothing's happened? Have you done your job? Did you do what you have to do? You know you did. So what are you getting so upset about? Step back. That's it. Do you know the yeshivas? The Volozhiner Yeshiva. Yeah? Volozhiner Yeshiva. You all know the story, how they came in and wanted to take it over. So you said, okay, that's it. I did what I have to do, and I'm out of here. I did what I have to do. That's it. So you don't have a yeshiva, but I've done the best I can to keep the yeshiva going. So close the yeshiva. I have a nice pshat to understand how Shimon HaTimoni would darshan every single S in the entire Torah. Every single S. From Bereishis Bara Elokim, S HaShemayim Ve'S HaAretz. How many thousands of S in the Torah? Every single one until he came right to the end of the Torah. S HaShem Elokecha Tiro, L'Rabbo Yisrael Melech HaChomim. Now he says to himself, that S, how can you possibly darshan the S compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can you do such a thing? How can you do such a thing? How can you compare an S to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What could be top of the Kodesh Baruch Hu? So he stepped out and said, okay, finished. Everything I've done in my entire life, get rid of. So he said to him, how can you do such a thing? So he said, Kishem shekabalti schala drisha, kabalti schala prisha. Just like I received reward for darshaning, I received reward for stepping back. That's it. All his S has gone down the drain. Ad shebore b'kiva tira b'kiva came and he says, S Hashem alekecha tira, the rabbi is tamidah chachamim. To include Tamid HaChachamim. I want to ask you, who was the master of S? Who was the biggest maven, the biggest expert in how to use the word S? Shimon HaMasuni. Right? If that's the case, why couldn't he darshan the same as Rabbi Akiva?
Even after Rabbi Akiva said he didn't accept it.
Not poshut. We're not poshut. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to tell it now. This is a beautiful piece of from Shamshon El Sripoli. Oh, not Posh. But he didn't. What's going on over here? I want to say like this. I'm thinking about it. It could be this is Peshat. If you have a Talmud Chochem who works his entire life on on every single S, and he can get to one S, and he can say, okay, I don't know Peshat, and he can throw everything away and say, okay, that's it. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. This person is doing it to Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is where Talmud Chochem has fulfilled his tachlis. This is where Talmud Chochem can say, Rabbein Shalom, you want me? What do you want from me? To darshan? I'll darshan. You want me to step away? I'll step away. This person is totally connected to Rabbein Shalom. That's Es Hashem Lekech Atira, the Rabbis to Melech Chochem. That is a Talmud Chochem. A Talmud Chochem is somebody who can step back and say, I did my very best, I have no complaints, I have no regrets. That is a Talmud Chochem. And therefore he couldn't say it by himself, because he didn't see within himself. Rabbi Akiva saw what this person did, how he wouldn't give everything up. He said, that is Pshat, Es Hashem Lekech Atira, the Rabbis to Melech Chochem. This parasha is a very difficult parasha. But if you do understand, in the minutest way, Moshe Rabbeinu miscalculated. And ultimately, we have to learn, number one, that the koyach we have, beruchnius and megashmius, it is all coming ultimately from ruchnius. It all comes from the koyach we put into the world with another Dvar Torah, with another Dvar Mishnah, with another Perek of Tehillim. That is what gives it koyach. It is not the stick. It is not koyach of Eitzim Yodi. Number one. Number two, it's the idea that Kodesh Baruch Hu does not need our help to move things along. He can manage fine himself. We have got to follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's dictates. Once you start moving out and say, okay, but bigger Kiddush Hashem if you do this and do that, and by doing so, we're deviating from the Ratzon Hashem, we're not doing the right thing. Secondly. The third thing is understanding that if we do deviate, even if we see Siyata Dishmaya, even if we see fantastic help from Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have not seen the ultimate help we could have got if we would have gone the correct way. It may all be and the soy and fast, but the real help we would have got if we would have gone the correct way. And finally, don't believe for one second that if you did not receive the Siyata Shmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu you looked for, and you did not see the result at the end, when he did follow the correct way, it's anything to be disappointed about. It isn't. You've got to make sure you did what you have to do, and that is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should have the Masikas HaTorah, we see the Shefa of Brocha of learning the Parsha carefully, and learning the real Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand and see clearly the messages that it's all from the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we just have to follow and do exactly what's in Hashem, and we'll see Ezer Hashem tremendous Yatzah Tishmaya.